rock, hallelujah. Hard rock, hallelujah.
Nokia 3210, Saunas, Sibelius, are you listening? You guys took one hell of a beating. Yes, welcome to the Welsh Premier League podcast, where we'll celebrate Nomad's win against Helsinki and hope that they can finish the job. Get it? Finish the job? We'll also critically analyse the chances of our other sides when we hear from Andy Morrison and Scott Rusko. We'll challenge Jonah's knowledge of European football, and he's been around the block a bit, hasn't he, with our Europa League quiz. You'll love that one. And we'll catch up with some parish notices and new signings from the rest of the Welsh Premier League. But first, Jonah, let's spend the next few minutes pontificating, celebrating quite an achievement for Connors Quay Nomads.
Yeah, fantastic result for Andy Morrison and the Nomads. They, you know, their 1-0 home victory against Helsinki will definitely go down as one of the great Welsh football and European results of all time, to be honest. You know, especially representing the Dafabet Welsh Premier League without any football league clubs involved now the last 20 years. It's most probably the biggest result ever since 1992 and the Welsh Premier League in Europe.
So let's have that debate then, because a couple of people are already on the Twitter straight away. This is the greatest result. In fact, Radio Cymru the morning after saying it was the greatest individual result that a Welsh side has seen at this level. Okay, obviously, let's take out the games that you managed, Jonah, because obviously they were the greatest results in European football. Obviously. But is it? I mean, can we think of some others?
Oh, they were great. They were great, great games. You know, Ballytown obviously beating Porto. There were some fantastic. Maybe Cumbrian's win against Cork, even though it was one of the they weren't giants at the time. Cork, but that was a great win. There's been plenty of them. We know Bangor City have had great results in the past. TNS have had wonderful results against, you know, hey, Liverpool 3. Was it Liverpool 3 or Liverpool 5, TNS 0? You know, was that a disastrous result? As a game, most probably, that's the biggest game we've ever had, which filled our own, nearly filled our own national stadium. So we'll just say, I'd have to go along at present and say Morrison and his Nomads, who were very, very, very large underdogs on the night, have pulled off one of the biggest shocks ever. And well done to him, really well done to him. We talked about it last week, our league needing something big to kick off our season. Well, there's nothing more better than beating, a gigantic team from Finland, Helsinki, known all over the footballing world. And who goes and beats them 1-0? Is little old Connors Quay Nomads.
Well, let's hear from their manager, Andy Morrison.
This is a top team, and we've done a job on them tonight. You know, we've looked in great depth at the way they play, and we've isolated players that we want to have the ball. And, and they've, apart from a couple of times later on in the game where we're getting stretched, and that's fitness, you know. The boys, two of the lads have come back off the holidays yesterday. So they come off the beaches on Wednesday morning and they're playing here Thursday night, you know. And they're going to struggle at the end, and they're blowing and they're struggling. But, you know, the spirit in that team and that changing room, I can't tell you how proud I am of them, because they do not back down. And I said before the game, we will respect Helsinki and we respect everyone we play against, but we fear nothing and no one. That's the nature of this football club now. We fear nothing, and we'll go out there now. It's half time. But we got our noses in front, you know. Nobody gave us a hope in hell of staying in the game. We knew we'd have a chance because we know a hard-worded breakdown. You don't have the, one of the best defensive records in European football last year for your domestic, you know, it's a domestic league, but across the board, if you can't defend right, and them boys can.
So, second leg it is, Jonah. Now, here's the big issue, isn't it, I suppose? It's away. And that is the only worry, isn't it? Because if it was home, we'd be saying that's a banker and we're on our way. But it is away. I mean, what have they got to do away? 15 men behind the ball, 17 men behind in front of the goal, and see what happens?
Whatever he has to do, Morrison, I'm sure he'll believe, right? And he'll put the belief into his players that they can create an even bigger shock. You know, once you've played against somebody, no matter what level they're from, and you've turned them over once, maybe it was 1-0, and they have defended stoutly all evening, but who says they can't do it again and nick an away goal? If they were to nick another goal, don't forget, Helsinki'd have to get three. So, you know, the away goal is priceless, and I'm sure Andy Morrison, the smart money, says that Helsinki will have too much for them, you know, with a couple of million pound players and, you know, a professional club. And he says Konarski should be overwhelmed 3 or 4 nil, but I don't think Morrison's having any of that at the moment, and I think he firmly believes that he could maybe edge his team through to a remarkable, remarkable, you know, overall victory over the two legs.
The only thing that's going to be in their way is the crowd, because obviously it's a home game for Helsinki and people will turn up and support Helsinki. So there's got to be a lot of mental preparation about blocking out the crowd, I suppose, is there?
Well, there's a lot of ex-professional footballers playing for Konarski, we mustn't forget, Mark. And Morrison himself will obviously rise to the occasion. Ex-captain of Manchester City. I think he played at Wembley in a playoff, didn't he, for Manchester City. So it's not going to bother him at all. And if you're a good player, that, you know, the more crowd there, the better you perform. I think, Mark, they'll relish it. If you ask the Konarski players now, could they have the opportunity playing in front of 500, 5,000 or 20,000? I know which one they'll tell you. Bring on the 20,000 and let's hope they rise the occasion.
Well, Gary Dewis, the money man at Gap, says no one at the club underestimates the task. But I'm going to put some pressure on them now, because actually, we mustn't forget this time last year, Konarski Nomads didn't stop at the first qualifying round. They went on to the second qualifying round and nearly made it into the third qualifying round. So here's me being stupid, but I'm going to put it out there. Is there an argument that if they don't make the second qualifying round this season, that's a disappointment?
Well, no, not definitely not. We have to be a little bit realistic. Everybody likes to be, you know, in dreamland all the time. But realistically, Helsinki, as the bookmaker would have told you before the tie was played, Helsinki were about 1-7 on to qualify, and that is a big, that's a big slice of odds on money, you know, 1-7 on. But they've performed a minor miracle in winning the home leg. Like we said earlier on, can they perform another miracle and get something from the away leg? If they don't and they get knocked out by a odd couple of goals, it's still a magnificent achievement. Hey, some coefficient points for a home victory in Europe against a team who were billed, you know, many, many places higher than them in the coefficient league. So anything now would be a success. If they were to get knocked out by a couple of goals, that victory at home against Helsinki for a little club like Konarski will never be forgotten and will always be regarded as a success.
Let me reverse it then, Jonah. If they do beat Helsinki in this round, are we getting too greedy and thinking now they're going to be our Dundalk and they're going to be the side that can beat strong sides? And the last two sides they played last season were no mugs either. And they could be the first Welsh team to enter the group stages of a European competition.
Well, it's early days yet, Mark, but it'd be fantastic to see whether, you know, if the Nomads were the first team to do it. I'm sure even everybody at TNS would congratulate them, because everybody involved in our league should want somebody to qualify for them stages of a European competition. Were it to be Konarski Nomads, it would be fantastic. Were it to be Bala, were it to be Bangor or TNS, everybody singing from the same song sheet, Mark, for Europe. What, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it, Dundalk. Let's hope it's one of the boys this year. They're all in with a chance.
Now, the other two Europa League scorelines, they still leave the door open. The doors haven't been shut there, really, have they? It is going to be Bangor against Lyngby on Thursday.
And they're only 1-0 behind. They're playing a class outfit, by the way. Their last six games. For all these people listening in at the moment now, you listen to this. Now, you're saying Bangor against Lyngby, and you look at it, and it says Lyngby 1, Bangor 0. And then you read, Lyngby are on a run of 6 consecutive wins at the moment, beating Copenhagen, Bromby, Midtjylland, and Bangor involved. Midtjylland beat Manchester United 2 years ago. So what does this say for the standard of our teams in improving over the last 10 years? These are the things that people outside our league have to look at and stand up and take notice of. Bangor have gone and got beaten 1-0 by a side who defeated Manchester United at home 2 years ago.
Absolutely. And they weren't humiliated in that away game. And now, more importantly, they're on our turf on Thursday. They're coming over here and they're facing a university stadium side. And hopefully half of North Wales will turn up for this one. I said that the other week. We've all got to get there if we can and fill that place out. You can get to Bangor, get a ticket, get in there, because there's one thing that they won't like. Not only have they worked out that Bangor are tricky customers and probably hard to read, but they'll turn up and they'll realise there's a few thousand, hopefully, at the Bangor Stadium, and they won't know what to do with them either.
If I had my way, I'd take it back to Farrer Road. They definitely wouldn't like it there. Get a few fire engines on the pitch and give them an hour unloading a bit of water and say welcome to Wales there. But no, it's a fantastic stadium, the Bangor University Stadium. May eventually go against Bangor, but it's nice to invite teams as big as Lingby to a class football in stadium in Wales. It shows that the improvements of our league. 10 or 15 years ago, most of our teams were swapping pitches because we didn't have these sort of stadiums to hold top European sides. Well, Bangor can welcome Lingby to their stadium with their heads held high, and I hope they give them a fantastic game. Bangor have that sort of aura of being a team who can create a shock once in every 10 years. They have a fantastic history in European football, Bangor, don't forget. They go back to just after the war with some brilliant European results. But I think Bangor always have a little bit of a shock in them. One big, massive game a season, Bangor. And let's hope it could be this one.
And Bangor in a win-win situation here, because this is their first season back in Europa League football for a while. So the expectations might not be high amongst the outside community. I'm sure expectations and standards have been set by Gary Taylor, Fletcher and Kevin and everybody there. But, you know, if they lose this, people go, well, they've gone as far as we expect them to go this year. They kick on for next year. If they win it, my word, that opens the floodgates of emotion, doesn't it?
Well, the emotion, Mark, the emotion is, you've got to ask like people who have been in these competitions. It's just a fantastic event. I can remember that, you know, maybe the first time we were in. You actually get there and you see these things, oh, European football, Bangor. And every player who's involved in that will take that. Gary Taylor Fletcher, by the way, last week, I think he tweeted, 36 years of age and my first taste of European football. Magnificent, magnificent. Goes to show that this Welsh Premier League gives people a target every year to play for. And one of the great targets is to play in a European football. There's a lot of good old ex-pros have never done that and would have loved to have done it, as Taylor Fletcher stated last week.
Well, look, Bala, bit harder for them now, isn't it? A mountain to climb in the hills of Liechtenstein. They're off to Vaduz on Thursday. And I think, interestingly, we'll talk about TNS in a minute, but talking about Bala, I think both of them share a common thought on their game here, that they probably didn't achieve what they thought they could have achieved, and that there's better to come from Bala and TNS.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Mark. I think they were both, they'll be a little bit disappointed. Colin will be disappointed that he didn't beat his opponents at home, because they, by all accounts, they had plenty of chances, and the same must be said. Scott would be disappointed with his start, because I don't think they played very well. In his interview after, I'm sure we'll show it on the programme, or we'll hear it on the programme, he said that's not the TNS which we know. So I wouldn't mind, Mark, a little, if I did gamble, a couple of shillings on an outside double. You'd get a great outside double, I think. Ballard will be big underdogs. I think TNS will once again be underdogs. I think they can both secure victories, Mark. I think it might have been a game too soon for the two of them, but if they can click and show their best form, they're still both capable of winning and qualifying. Smart Money says they are the two who could still most probably qualify. The other two, Bangor and Connorskey, would have to win the national to qualify, even though the results have gone more their ways. But I see Bala and TNS still having the ability in their squads to qualify on away turf in Europe, which would be a brilliant result.
Well, more TNS talk to come. We got some parish notices and some cracking deals on go-to-watch football this season in Wales. Really cheap tickets. I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, yes, it's time for some culture. Like I said, Jonah has been a man around the block. He's travelled Europe more than one of those travel presenters. He's the Judith Chalmers of Welsh football. So he knows European football better than anybody else. So I thought we'd test him. Let's play.
Tell me, is it Europa or IKEA?
I'm going to name a thing. It is either a side that has competed in the Europa League, or it's a piece of IKEA furniture. And Jonah's got to guess which one. Are you ready for this?
I am ready for the biggest stitch-up I've ever been involved in.
Mate, you well-travelled in European football. You know what you're doing.
You've stitched me already. Let's have it.
Okay, here's the first one. Europa League side or IKEA product? Atlantas.
IKEA.
No, Europa. It's a Lithuanian football team. Next one. Let's see. Oh, I've dropped the list. Oh, that's not good. Hold on. Next one. Gabala. Not Gabalva, Gabala.
I think you've stitched me again, but I'll go team, Europa team.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Azerbaijani Association Football Club playing Gabala in the Azerbaijani Premier League.
Yeah, I know. I know one of the lads used to play for him.
Did he try and sign him once?
How many more, mate?
Braga.
Braga.
No, Braga. B-R-A-D-A.
Yeah, I'm going to go for IKEA.
Yes, it's a laptop support.
Yeah, I did know that.
The rubber strip on the underside keeps your laptop firmly in place.
Yeah, I did know. Okay. I did know that.
Lixelli love us.
I'm speechless, to be honest. Absolutely speechless. So I've been stitched up to be sat taking these questions. So I'm going to say team.
No, Lixelli love us is an IKEA product. It's a two-seat sofa available in seven different colours. There we go. And finally, Vikingir Gota.
I think I can remember one of their right wingers. I'm going to go for team.
You're right, the Faroe Islands team. Usually just referred to as Vikingir. There we go. Who says we don't bring you culture on the Welsh Premier League podcast? Well done, Jonah.
Hey, catchphrase has got to be easier.
Fantastic.
Tell me, is it Europa or IKEA?
Okay, moving on. We did talk a bit about TNS, didn't we? Let's hear from Scott Rusko, his thoughts after that game against Europa.
We've been caught out high up the pitch. We've given the ball away. I think two players thought that either one was going to get it. And we've been caught out down the left-hand side and really caught cold. We're just out of position. And the second one, well, after Quiggs' goal, we got back into the tide before half-time. Great time to score. And then the second goal, we've just started to come into the game again, second half. And then a wrong decision has allowed them in. Obviously, it's a great finish.
Well, Jonah, what's your thoughts? Where do TNS go from here?
I still, like I said earlier on, Mac, when you asked me who could qualify, I still think they can qualify. They didn't have the best of games. And I know a lot of people who went to the game. Great turnout at the game from the crowd. By the way, obviously, they love their Champions League football up in Park Hall. And I think they can improve. Quigley scored a great goal. And he has plenty of that in his locker. And if they get the ball down and play, pass it better than they did last week, I still think they have the ability to qualify. I really do. I think TNS can qualify and give Scott Rusko a good start to his managerial career.
And we've got to say, if you're flying over for the game and you want to support TNS, don't go to Gibraltar, because the game's not in Gibraltar. It's in Portugal near Faro, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think the TNS, they always do take 20 or 30 supporters, which sometimes you have to realise, people with jobs and everything, then these are real true football supporters. And TNS, they haven't got a massive following, but they've got a core support, away support of about 20, and it'll be a great day for them. Let's hope they can get a victory for TNS and Wales.
And a big up as well to BBC Wales Football, who streamed the first leg of that game on the Facebook Live page. Really good production, really good hard work by the BBC Wales sports team. Thank you for doing that, because I think that was a game worth watching, even though the result wasn't very good. But I suppose we should say it was worth watching because the goal went viral. Quigley's goal was amazing, was it? Did you see it?
Yeah, great goal. Good finish again. Almost reminded me of the one he scored in the Iron Brew last year, when he broke away and lashed it from just outside the area when he came on as substitute. So Quigley's capable of that. Maybe a surprise that he still stayed at TNS and nobody from the Football League had come in for Quigley, because he has goals in his locker. And for a big man, he can play wide or centre forward. And let's hope he can produce one or two on Thursday evening to see us through.
Okay, let's have some parish notices before we go. Llandudno have made two announcements since we've been with each other last week, Jonah. They've signed Ryan Edwards, the ex-TNS midfielder. What do you think of that signing?
Good player, Ryan. Good player. Needs to settle down now. I think he may be about 24, 25, Ryan. There was great hope for him at a younger age. Obviously, he went to TNS and he went out on loan a couple of times to Connors Key, Nomads and the likes. But he's a good footballer, Ryan. I hope Morgs gets him under his wing now and plays him centre midfield. He's a good, I see him as a centre midfielder, busy lad, and he's just getting to the age now where he can start to dominate games. So that's a great signing for Llandudno, for me.
And let's stroke the ego of one of my more famous listeners, Mark Williams, re-signed, staying at Llandudno.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, lovely to see him stay there. I hope he gets back on the a goal trail this year. His odds are... would have gone out a bit after last year's escapade, so he can most probably be about 33 to 1 for the golden boot. But if he can start scoring early, he might be worth a couple of shillings each way, young Mark. And I know Morgs and the Llandudno fans missed his goals last year. In fact, I think his brother equaled him last year. His brother at centre-half, they were equal on goals. And so his brother had those bragging rights all summer. Let's hope Mark can start banging them in and giving Morgs and Llandudno a good start.
Now, going back to good coverage of this league, I urge you to get on the internet, go to Wales Online and look up Will Hayward's piece where he followed the Carmarthen Town fans around for a few days. He really is quite positive about our league and what's been going on there down at Carmarthen Town and the hard work that everybody does, which is fantastic. To that point, friendly to note for Carmarthen Town, they're away at STM Sports 2:30 on a Saturday. And Jonah, we know STM Sports very well. Rising up the Welsh Football League, no mugs, are they?
No, they're not. They've done well. They come out of Division 3 last season. They're in Division 2 now, and that sort of just shows their progress by playing teams like, you know, Carmarthen Town. There'll be a good crowd there Saturday, and it'll be a test for Carmarthen Town. STM are one of these Welsh league clubs with a great ambition. They had a great chairman for years, Nigel Burcham. It's just been taken over now, in fact, by one of my old players, Giza Hadjato, ex-Chelsea as a lad, and... played in the Welsh League and Welsh Premier League, so most probably the youngest chairman in Welsh football, and he's obviously secured a good friendly early on for his club. So let's hope everybody enjoys the outing on Saturday at STM.
And League New Boys, Prestatyn, their first friendly of the season is this Saturday. They play Queen's Park at Stancy Park. It's a 2:30 kickoff. Now, I must mention Queen's Park in the Cymru Alliance because I've got wind that their season tickets for next season... are just £10. £10 to see a whole season's football. And it'll be a decent level in the Cymru Alliance, we know that. That's bargain of the season. If you ever live anywhere near Queen's Park, why would you not buy a £10 season ticket to see that? It's brilliant to see that sort of level of money for football, I suppose, isn't it, Jonah?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Look, if they're going to get tenners off people who'd only come there once a year and they sell a season ticket anyway, they've got nothing to lose, but they might encourage a lot more people to come and watch them at that level. You know, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, just trying things. It might enhance a few more supporters. Another quick mention, Mark. I think most probably the scoop of the pre-season games is next a week Friday at Taff's Well, where Lee Bridgman and Taff's Well have secured Cardiff City in their first friendly. And Neil Warnock says he will bring every Cardiff City first team player there to play. So that is a great coup for Bridgman and Taff's Well. And it's so nice to see. Being a Cardiff man myself, I've seen Cardiff City travel, you know, to the West Country, to the Midlands, and play derby, play friendlies. But this is good because this one game could most probably pay for Taff's Well season. So I hope everybody in the area responds well. I think the tickets are, like we say, they may only be at £10. Cardiff City in a first friendly, every first team player playing, and good luck to Bridgman and his boys on that night.
Yeah, it's a great game to have. And to be fair, Neil Warnock has been nothing but a supporter of growing football in South Wales. He's gone up and done fans forums in the valleys. He's really invested his time in the club and he is determined to play more games in this area. So again, Cardiff City giving back to the community and giving local sides a chance to take them on is nothing but the best thing. Just come back to the Queen's Park. One thing you've got to remember about that £10 season ticket as well, Jonah, is not that you're going to go and just see Queen's Park or Buckley, but you're paying £10 season ticket to see Rhyl, Carnarvon, Denbigh, Mold Alex. a bucket of sides who could possibly be in the Premier League next season.
Great league, absolutely great league up in the Cymru Alliance this year. It'll be a tough league to get out of, and the two teams who went down, they'll know, and Airbus, they'll know what sort of league they're in. They have to have good seasons to get back up, mate. It's a tough league to be involved in, that one, as is the Welsh League First Division down here, but it's that's the way Welsh football is going at the moment. Hopefully, if it's improving at the top, they say if it improves at the top, it should funnel down, and it's going well at the moment, football in Wales. Let's hope it keeps going again, especially with these results now coming up this week in Europe. We must, say once again, good luck to everybody. Let's just have a little bit of fortune. We need a little bit of fortune. We need a slice of luck. But let's show everybody in Europe and Wales the ability of the players in our league, and let's edge one or two teams through.
Yeah, some great football home and abroad involving our sides in the next 7 to 14 days. Me and Jonah will be back soon to chat about that and look to the season ahead. Say goodbye, Jonah.
All the best, Mark, and thanks for that brilliant stitch-up, mate. I'll try and get my own back one day.